Good morning and welcome to the Community Connection. I am joined on the phone today by Dr. Christine Horner. She is a plastic surgeon and a natural health expert. Hi, Christine. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And yourself?
I am doing just fine as well. So today we are going to talk about those things that can creep up on a person who is getting older, shall we say.
Happen on people that are younger now, too.
Older is getting younger is what you're saying, huh?
That's right, you know, because our health is not good.
Okay, so I guess you're seeing juvenile diabetes and people who are younger and are younger, getting
right,
type
yeah,
2 diabetes.
I mean, exactly. So, I mean, there's a number of things, a lot of things, okay. Actually, that have absolutely no symptoms. And so unless you go to your doctor to get, you know, regular checkups, you have absolutely no idea that you have them. So today, I mean, I'm just selecting some of the big ones because they definitely are ones that are we see a lot in our culture and are potentially deadly. So high blood pressure, sexually transmitted diseases, the HPV virus, pancreatic cancer, diabetes, and also sleep apnea.
Oh, okay.
So if we start with high blood pressure, you know, it's actually even called the silent killer because people mostly do not have any symptoms with it. And as I mentioned, this is not just in adults. I mean, we're seeing this, incredible increase in obesity in our children, and they're showing signs of high blood pressure, you know, even in childhood. And so, of course, everything I'm going to talk about is actually diet and lifestyle related. So it's not like coming on to scare people. It's like, hey, you know, we really need to pay attention to our diet and lifestyle. Everybody's heard that, but, you know, this is the cold, hard facts of it is that, you know, these things can be really life-threatening. So for high blood pressure, for years, it used to be 140 over 90 was the definition, anything above that. And then last year, the American Heart Association dropped it to 130 over 80. And so the stats that they're saying is that about 50% of adult Americans have high blood pressure. I mean, it's kind of astronomical. And the reason you don't want that is it really increases your risk of heart disease and strokes and kidney problems and so forth. So this requires you to get your blood pressure checked. And so the recommendation is to do it at least once a year. If you find that your blood pressure is elevated, it's a good idea for you to check it yourself. Every morning, and you can get a blood pressure cuff. I got one from Amazon.com for like $20, so it's really inexpensive. And, you know, it comes down to good old diet and lifestyle, of course. So eating the standard American diet of burgers and fries and processed foods and sugars and alcohol and all that kind of stuff, this is not a recipe for health. It's a recipe for disease. And so we know that those are things that really increase your risk of high blood pressure. So getting your diet into a healthy diet, and that means eating a lot of organically grown plants, so, you know, vegetables, fruits, nuts, seeds, omega-3 fatty acids. And the other thing that really plays a big role in it is stress.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you think about people when they get upset or they're stressed out, they can even get red in the face. That's because their blood pressure is going up.
Oh, okay.
So thousands of years ago, like traditional Chinese medicine and Ayurveda, they recommended techniques, understanding that stress, you know, played a huge role in diseases. And so they came up with effective stress-reducing techniques such as meditation, Tai Chi, Qigong, yoga, you know, things like that.
Yes.
And what they found is that if you practice those on a daily basis, what it does is it trains your nervous system to not be as responsive. So, in other words, you can have a stress that comes at you, a typical stress, and if you're not doing one of these techniques, you can have this huge response, lots of stress hormones like cortisol that gets elevated when you have a stressful situation. If you're practicing one of these effective stress-reducing techniques, what they find is that your nervous system it gets quieted. So you can have the same stress, but then the response isn't as huge as what it was before. Cortisol levels don't go up as much. The damaging effects aren't as much. And what research shows is that by practicing one of these techniques, it's really astounding the protective effects that it can have. So they found that there's a 50% reduction in virtually any kind of chronic disease that you can think of if you practice one of these techniques. And for cardiovascular disease, there's a meditation technique that I practice called transcendental meditation. There's an 87% reduction in cardiovascular disease if you practice this simple mental technique. So super important because, you know, we have so much stress going on in our lives right now.
Okay, I've got a couple questions about high blood pressure. Is the problem that we're not paying attention and we're eating bad?
Well, you know, both, and also, you know, not exercising enough. People are laying around on the couch, you know, while watching television.
Okay.
Staying up too late at night. I mean, there's all sorts of things as far as diet and lifestyle. Kind of staying in a irritated mood, you know,
right.
That's going to increase it too. So just practicing gratitude.
So staying off Facebook is a way to lower your blood pressure.
Yeah, there you go. Watching the news. You don't want to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so then how about these machines? There are four or five places I can go in town, and they have a machine that will automatically take my blood pressure. Is that good?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's a good way to do it. Now, the thing is, there's this phenomenon called white coat hypertension, which means if you walk into the office, you see your doctor, your blood pressure kind of goes up. And ideally, what you want to do is sit calmly for about 30 minutes before you take your blood pressure, which never happens when you're at the doctor's office.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll give you, you know, much more accurate readings. But yeah, you can go into, you know, the CVS pharmacies or other pharmacies and get your blood pressure taken there too. And like I said, you can buy your own cuff on Amazon.
Okay. All right. What about the HPV virus. Now,
HPV,
there's a shot for that, right?
Yeah, well, no, you know, most people don't like to talk about sexually transmitted diseases, but you're right. They've created a vaccine for HPV, and the reason is that the HPV virus is the most common sexually transmitted disease. The concern about it is that if you develop a chronic infection, it can lead to a significant increased risk of cervical cancer. Now, when we look at the facts, though, if your immune system is healthy, your own body will eradicate the HPV virus 98% of the time. So only 2% of people will go on to develop a chronic infection. So this is something that doesn't really affect a lot of people. So I have some issues with, you know, doing a broad spectrum vaccination program.
Right.
Something that doesn't affect that many people. And there's some terrible side effects associated with it, including permanent neurological disorders and death, you know.
Right.
So the main thing is that, of course, if you keep yourself healthy, you've got a really healthy immune system, which is all, you know, diet and lifestyle related, you can, you know, get rid of that virus on your own. And then there was actually some really exciting research that came out of the University of Texas Health Sciences recently that where the researcher tested a mushroom formula called AHCC. AHCC is out of Japan. It's been around for decades, and it's known to be the most effective formula in helping to support the immune system. And it also has some antiviral and antibacterial effects. So this researcher thought, okay, let me test it against the HPV virus. So what she found was that it actually killed the HPV virus, and this is super important because actually there's no effective Western treatment to kill the HPV virus. They don't have any antivirals, antibacterial,
right.
You know, nothing like
it's
that.
It's a virus, and we're generally bad at killing viruses.
You know, generally, yeah. So so what she did then was to take women who had this chronic HPV infection and put them on AHCC, and then followed them. And so then she found that the women who stayed on AHCC for 6 months or longer, that it completely eradicated the HPV virus. And it didn't come back. So they followed people out, you know, over time. So it wasn't like it just went dormant, you know, and came back. It didn't come back. So to me, this is like super exciting because now we've got something that doesn't have any horrible side effects to it that's extremely effective at killing this virus and really supporting your immune system, which, you know, helps you against every kind of disease, basically.
Right. That's just amazing to me that and for one thing, 98% of the people could get rid of it naturally if they were healthy.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
And so I guess that's the big caveat that we talked about with high blood pressure, if they're healthy.
Right. That's exactly right. And, here, you know, so this is the many reasons, you know, why you want to be healthy besides it just, you know, feeling good and looking good. You know, there's so many different things that you really, you know, we think that we have bad luck. You know, like when I was working as a surgeon in particular, so let's go, if we go on to pancreatic cancer used to not be that common. And so we used to do surgery, you know, for pancreatic cancer, and we think that when people came in with it, it was like, oh my God, it was just, we had no idea why people got it. We thought it was just, you know, bad luck. Well, as it turns out now, pancreatic cancer, the incidence of it is soaring more than any other, you know, type of cancer that we have. And so what they've now discovered is, of course, diet and lifestyle.
No.
Plays a huge role. I know. Can you believe it? So smoking really jacks up the risk. Drinking alcohol, of course, if you've been an alcoholic and had numerous bouts of pancreatitis, that really increases
right.
your risk. Being overweight, eating a diet that's high in fat and sugar, if you have diabetes, which unfortunately is epidemic right now too, that increases your risk. And then a very interesting study showed that if a person drinks colas, you know, so we got the diet this or the sugar colas.
Right. It's got to be healthy. There's no sugar in it.
That's right. So they found if somebody drank two colas a week, that's it, there was a statistically significant increased risk of pancreatic cancer.
Wow.
You know, so I hear horrifying stuff about people eating, you know, drinking, what, you know, 6, 10, 12, you know, Diet Cokes a day or something like that. But anyway, that's a reason you do not want to do that. So, again, you know.
That's like two 12-ounce drinks.
Huh?
That's like two 12-ounce drinks a week. Not the big 44
eight.
Big gulp.
Or, probably 8 ounces.
That's it's probably right. 8 ounces.
So,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's just no redeeming value to, no nutritional value to those things. So, you know, you really want to switch over to purified water and teas and, you know, things like that. Those are much healthier. And, you know, the scary thing about pancreatic cancer is that, I mean, there's no symptoms. I mean, there's another one, no symptoms. And if you start to have some symptoms, then it's always too late. And the five-year survival is only 5%.
Wow.
So you really don't want to, you know, set yourself up for that. And, again, we have a lot of those, you know, factors under our own control. So another reason to have your healthy diet and lifestyle.
Okay. And you can be tested for pancreatic cancer, can't you?
The thing is that it's not that common, although it's increasing like crazy. And so when we look at, like, screening, for instance, you know, we do the mammograms, which is a whole other topic. Even PSA tests for prostate cancer. Now there's all the controversy. Oh, we probably shouldn't be doing that because it's not a good, you know, screening test. Well, they found that there's really no it doesn't decrease mortality. That's kind of the endpoint that we want to look at. Does it decrease whatever we're doing, decrease mortality from the disease? And they found that doing ultrasounds or MRI scans or something as a screening thing for pancreatic cancer actually didn't decrease the death rate from it. So it's not recommended, and there's no blood test really that you can do that's accurate, let's say.
Okay, so you're telling me there's no symptoms and there's no screening test for pancreatic cancer.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, like, yeah, it's not a good one to have. So, again, it's just like you need to really kind of, you know, make sure you take care of yourself as best you can. And
right.
if there's any kind of high-risk thing, then maybe, you know, doing ultrasounds or something like that might be effective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you're just catching something.
Does it run in families,
stage.
Pancreatic cancer?
Well, the only, you know, when we say things run in families, it's usually because, not because it's genetic, it's because everybody in the family is eating the same diet and having the same lifestyle and processing stress in the same way and, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's usually the case. And it's most things, if you have a genetic predisposition for it, the incidence of it is extremely low. And even if you have a genetic predisposition, by doing a healthy diet and lifestyle, we found that we can actually transform how our genes are read,
mm-hmm.
And so you can significantly decrease your risk of, you know, any kind of disease that maybe you have a genetic predisposition for, because you're, through the diet and lifestyle, you're activating certain genes and turning certain genes off that significantly reduce your risk.
Okay. All right. Let's go to one I'm terribly familiar with, diabetes.
Yeah, and you would be because believe it or not, 25% of people over the age of 65 have diabetes. I mean, it is an epidemic.
Yeah.
Well, why is it? It's because we're eating too much. You know, type 2 diabetes, there's a couple different kinds of diabetes, but type 2 diabetes is used to be called adult onset, and
right.
of course now we're seeing it in kids. So overeating too many calories, you're putting all the stress on your pancreas to crank out the hormone insulin. And so when you're constantly overeating like that, your cells actually develop something called insulin resistance. And so then your pancreas has to crank out more insulin to get the, you know, same kind of effects. And, you know, your blood sugars go up. And when that happens, there's all sorts of just horrendous complications that can occur, you know, from that. And again, this is pretty much all diet and lifestyle related. So if you lose weight, start exercising, work on your stress, you know, those things usually reverse diabetes fairly simply. And then another really simple thing that they found is that there's this very strong correlation with your risk with diabetes and your vitamin D levels. So vitamin D3, there's just been an amazing volume of research that's been going on in the last decade or so on it.
Mm-hmm.
But what we've discovered is that it works in our body more like a hormone rather than a vitamin. It's absolutely essential for health. If your levels are low, then it increases your risk of all sorts of things, from cancers to Parkinson's disease to diabetes.
Uh-huh.
So there's a very strong association between vitamin D levels and your risk of diabetes. And they found that when people are low, it significantly increases their risk if they get their numbers. And we want to look at kind of the levels that we look for is somewhere between 40 and 60 is nanograms per milliliter. But and if you get it up towards 50 or something like that, they found that there can be up to an 80% reduction in the incidence of diabetes just
really?
By getting your vitamin D levels up. So
well, vitamin D is the sunshine vitamin, isn't it?
It is. So if you live in sunny Southern California like me and spend a lot of time outdoors, your vitamin D levels are nice and high, but most people don't do that, you know, so they're covered up or they're working all day long. And in the wintertime, obviously, you're not getting, you know, any exposure to sun.
Okay.
So experts say everybody should be taking supplemental vitamin D. Usually the minimum dose is 2,000 international units a day. You do need to get your levels checked because everybody metabolizes it differently. And some people need 5,000 international units a day, just depending on how their body metabolizes it. So you actually don't even need to go to a doctor's office for that. There's a kit that you can order from a website called nutrientpower.org. And that kit comes to your house, has instructions. Basically, you're pricking your finger, putting a little dot of blood on a piece of paper, sending in it, and they'll tell you what your levels are. And then you can adjust how much you're taking based on that, and then they recommend that you recheck every 6 months just to stay on top of it.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to the next silent.
Sleep apnea. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm familiar with this one, too.
Yeah, you are. Okay. Well, sleep apnea, we kind of think of it as a, you know, fat man snoring disease, which it can be, but really what it means is that you stop breathing. It's not just snoring, it's that you actually stop breathing for several seconds. 90% of people who have this do not know that they have this. So the only way that you would really know is someone sleeping in the bed with you is going, hey, you stopped breathing. But you have to go to a sleep lab to get it to get tested, and they hook you up to monitors and, you know, through the night and see if you actually stop breathing, for how long and how severe it is. And all the typical things that we've been talking about, being overweight, smoking, drinking, and all that kind of
yeah.
things will increase your risk of sleep apnea. Women, interestingly, sometimes they don't snore, but they will have more vague symptoms like maybe headaches or daytime sleepiness, that kind of thing. But the reason you don't want to have sleep apnea is it increases your risk of heart attacks and strokes and kidney disease and things like that. So sometimes if your sleep apnea is severe, they'll hook you up with something called a CPAP, continuous positive airway pressure machine, that helps to keep your airways open overnight. But again, this is reversible with some healthy diet and lifestyle, losing some weight. And yeah,
I'm trying to lose the weight. I found that propping myself up in bed helps with my sleep apnea.
Yes, it does. Yeah, so that's, you know, it's definitely one of the first steps with that, is propping yourself up. Yeah.
So is there anything else I can do to help with my sleep apnea?
Yeah, so, you know, if you, I mean, just kind of eat a light meal at night, if you eat a heavy one, okay. That's going to be a problem. Drinking too much alcohol, taking sleeping pills, not exercising.
No, I hate to take pills, so. What I found with sleep apnea was that I was always tired, and I would fall asleep inappropriately at places.
Yeah, because you're not getting enough, you're not getting good quality sleep at night. Yeah, for sure.
But then I was always tired, and that increased my blood pressure because I was angry because I was.
Right.
We'll bring it all around back to the beginning, won't we?
That's right. It all is coordinated.
Okay. So where can we get more information on these silent killers that we've talked
about
today?
Sure. So best place is my website, which is drchristinehorner.com, drchristinehorner.com. And my book that came out about a year and a half ago, which is called Radiant Health, Ageless Beauty, a 30-Day Program for Extraordinary Health and Longevity. And actually, that book won a National Book Award for the best book in health, medicine, and nutrition.
Okay. All right, Christine. It's been wonderful to talk to you again.
Likewise.
Enjoy the California sun out there. And
I will.
And thank you for all the tips for health for today.
Sure.
Thank
you're so welcome.
That's going to do it for today here on the Community Connection.